Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Squeak with me, Luke Crofts.
I'm James Hargreaves.
And the system's down, so that's why we've only had one advert.
Yeah.
Well, so we can't
bonus.
Do
bonus?
Yeah.
Unless you're an advertiser.
Yeah, then you're a bit gutted. Anyway, happy birthday, James.
Why, thank you. It is indeed my birthday.
How do you feel? Do you feel old?
At the moment, a little hungover.
Yeah, me as well, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah.
It was a good night, though. Good day and night yesterday, wasn't it?
It was indeed. I enjoyed. We went to Red's barbecue, and my gosh, the... is anything actually coming out here? Because all I can hear is the music in my ears.
I don't know. I think so, yeah.
Some bad Stevie Wonder in my ears.
Yeah. It's the happy birthday song. I didn't know if you'd realise straight away.
Yeah, well, I can't avoid it.
Yeah, because that's the only thing you can actually hear.
Yeah. Well, where's my voice?
Here we go.
To me. Happy birthday to me.
We can't play the happy birthday jingle, though, because the thing's not working.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I bet you got it, aren't you?
I am. I deserve all the birthday messages and songs and everything that I get.
Yeah, so please tweet us in at The Squeak, spelt wrong, to wish James a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
Now, obviously, we weren't here last week because we were both down at Wembley, weren't we?
Oh, yes.
We're doing a 2-hour show today because Paul Sellers is not here this week to try and make up for it.
And we're taking a little bit different direction with the music this week as well. So for the first hour, I've got some kind of electronic, some kind of obscure songs from different artists, past and present. Stuff that Paul Sellers might have played on his show. So, and then in the second hour, we'll go into some of the normal kind of local band music stuff.
Yes. And just while you touch on that, I thought it'd be quite good to have a look at what was happening when you were born in the music, British music.
Well, I know that world. The number one on the day I was born was apparently Sunday Girl by Blondie.
It was, yeah. Yeah. I looked that up this morning.
I know that fact.
To be fair, though, do you know what the number one album was? Probably a different.
I did know, but it's escaped my memory.
Well, it was Voulez-Vous by ABBA.
Uh huh.
It spent 4 weeks at number one, that album.
Well, fan of ABBA. Now we'll leave it, because now is all you get. Nothing promised, no regrets.
Stop it. Yeah. But yeah, no, 1979 was a great year for music.
It was.
Some great number ones. The first number one of the year was YMCA by Village People. Obviously a great, great party song.
Fun to stay there.
very good. Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Hit me.
That had a week at number one.
Ian Drury, The Blockheads.
It was, yeah.
It's not actually The Blockheads, is it? It's just Ian Drury.
No, it's Ian Drury and The Blockheads.
Is it? I thought it was just Blockheads.
But it says The Blockheads, yeah.
Oh, well, fair enough.
Either way. And then Heart of Glass by Blondie.
Great tune.
Great Tragedy thing. By the Bee Gees. These are in order, by the way.
Saturday Night Fever was out about that time, wasn't it? Great.
Oh,
great,
yeah.
Film.
Was that 77, that was it?
Yeah, a couple of years earlier, I think.
I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. I think that was her only number one, that.
Was it?
I think so.
No.
Might be wrong.
Wow. That's a classic, though, an anthem, that is.
Then Bright Eyes by Art Garfunkel. Wow. Then Sunday Girl. End of May, that spent 3 weeks at number one.
You're going to do the whole chart for the year now?
Yes,
yes,
as well.
Brilliant.
Start to finish. Ring My Bell, Anita Ward.
Well, if don't you insist, Luke.
Ding dong. And then Our Friends Electric by Two Way Army.
That is a great
awesome
song.
Sampled by the Sugar Babes,
yeah,
a few years ago. Not very well. End of July, I Don't Like Mondays, Boomtown Rats.
God, another great song.
Cliff Richards in there. Cliff Richard's in there with We Don't Talk Anymore. Then Gary Numan with Cars. They only spent a week at number one, that.
Great.
Message in a Bottle, The Police, or as they now known, Sting. Video Killed the Radio Star by The Buggles.
Do you know, I very nearly put on the playlist today, Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh,
but
brilliant.
The Erasure version rather than the...
Erasure did a version of that, didn't
they? Yeah.
Wowza. One Day at a Time by Lena Martell. Don't know what that one is.
I can't remember that one.
One of my dad's favourites, When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Another classic.
Brilliant song, 3 weeks at number one. Walking on the Moon by The Police. Police had a good year. Yeah. And then to tie the end of the year up, it was Another Brick Wall Part 2 by Pink Floyd.
Another.
That was a Christmas number one in 1979.
Is it Pink Floyd that have the longest running album in the charts?
I don't know.
I think it is. They've had like an album in the charts for years to decades.
Oh right, like, what, the same album?
Yeah.
Oh right.
Like in the top 100 or whatever it is.
Not a big fan of Pink Floyd, myself. What about albums? That'll probably be a bit more difficult.
Yeah, that is a bit more difficult.
Well, the first one of the year was the Greatest Hits album by Shawaddy Waddy.
Shawaddy Waddy.
Shawaddy Waddy.
Oh, we're not allowed to do that anymore, are we?
No, I suppose not. And then it was some of the artists you've heard already. Blondie, Bee Gees. The Very Best of Leo Sayer had 3 weeks in April.
Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, ABBA was ABBA knocked that one off the top spot with Voulez-Vous. ELO were in there with Discovery. Tube Army. Led Zeppelin, Gary Numan, Boney M. Gary Numan again. Oh, the same album.
What, the same album twice?
Yeah, well, Boney M took Gary Numan off and then Gary Numan went back to number one.
Right.
Fleetwood Mac in there. So, yeah, great year. One of the greatest hits albums in the chart, album charts. At number one as well.
Yeah.
It was a year of singles rather than albums then. Actual real albums.
Well, back in that day, it was singles, wasn't it? They were the big thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
It changed in like the 90s and 2000s to albums.
Yeah.
And now it's just live music.
So what did you get for your birthday then, James?
I got, well, Ray paid for me to go to Wembley, which was great, including the hotel and the train and everything, so that was my main present.
Yeah.
She's got me some Lego Dimensions toys.
I was going to say, I thought Lego would come in somewhere.
Yeah, Lego. Got a bottle of Kraken rum with lots of mixers to go with it. Got lots of different bottles of beer. And then a great night out last night, where we went to
awesome.
Eat all of the meat.
Oh, God, yeah. Do you know what, actually? We went to Red's True Barbecue on Ecclesall Road, and I'd been to one in Leeds, and I were disappointed, but that one on Ecclesall Road is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
I don't think I've eaten that much food in a long time. And I didn't finish it either.
I had the hot wings as a side. They're on the starters thing, but I had them as a side.
I've never seen wings quite as big.
Yeah, whatever kind of KFC are doing with their chickens, they need to start doing it with the way that Reds do it. Because Reds have some mutant chickens or something. They're giant.
I don't, you know, you feed burgers to chickens. I don't think I want to know what they do to the chickens to get them that big. I'm just glad they're that big.
They were very hot. They were the hottest hot wings I've had.
Yeah, I was quite surprised because I tried one and it was gorgeous, but it was very, very hot. And I'm not normally one for hot food.
Mm.
But I, you know, I'm still alive. My stomach lining's still intact.
Well, I looked at the menu and I couldn't choose what to have because I wanted some of everything. So,
well,
I had one of the big trays and then the wings on the side.
Yeah, I were tempted to have what you had, the brisket and burnt
ends. Brisket and burnt ends. They were really nice.
But I opted for the rack of beef ribs and I only had a quarter of sticky chicken.
Yeah?
And there was just loads. I had two giant onion rings and they came out and they looked like donuts.
Well, let's compare the wings that we got. Like, if you had a quarter of a chicken that wing came from...
Well, yeah. It's all relative, isn't it?
And the wing was about as long as my arm.
Glad you said arm. The food and everything was great. But they sat us upstairs and they'd got, like, a themed room upstairs. It was like a college dormitory type thing.
Yeah.
It was old VHSs and...
Yeah, 80s style.
Yeah, it was great.
Old TVs, old portable TVs around and stuff.
There was a secret door.
Yes.
It's not a secret now, but... It was just really good. Really enjoyed it. And then
and
we went
two male toilets. Did you notice that?
I never went to the toilet.
They had two lots of male toilets. I didn't understand it. It was like male toilets, which you walked in. There's like the normal urinals and the normal toilet thing, the cubicle. Then a female toilet, and then there was another male's toilets next to that. Just absolutely bizarre.
Hmm. I was going to say maybe one of them was a disabled one, but we were upstairs, so that doesn't really work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I don't know then. Anyway, it was great. We enjoyed it, and then we had a mosey on down London Road, didn't we? And
yeah,
met the guy at the Albion, Andy.
Andy, yeah.
Yes,
Andy and Sharon.
Yeah. It was a great afternoon, and then we went back and had a bit of dancing at Faith's house, didn't we?
We did.
What time did you leave?
Dancing. Probably something like about 3:30 or something.
Ah, I don't know what time I left.
We got to the point where Faith was sat in her home, like laying down, half laid down on a sofa, saying, "I need to go home." I'm like, "You are home. Do you mean you need to go to bed?" "No, I need to go home. Shall we call you a taxi to just drive you around the block?" And
it's happened before, though, hasn't it? It's happened before.
Bless her.
Yeah, no, it was great.
Apparently she's hungover, she says.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It's a deserved hangover.
And they're still in their birthday celebration mode, looking at our group chat. They're enjoying the backing music.
Oh, yes. Happy birthday. Going to be singing that all day now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've burnt that specially today just for the show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's, yeah, it's... Is it just on a loop? Just looped it, yeah.
Just on a loop, yeah.
Wow, yeah. Brilliant.
So we've got that for 2 hours.
Oh, fantastic.
Now I might put something else on there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it is going to drive people a little bit mad, I think.
Yeah, probably. But no, yeah, awesome weekend, awesome weekend. Yeah. And the weather's nice today as well, which is good.
It's gorgeous. I went to meet you and I stood for 5 minutes outside burning up. It was just the sun bearing down on me. With my sunglasses on.
Birthday sunshine.
Yeah.
We're expecting a child soon.
Are you? What?
Not me. My brother's wife's in hospital ready to give birth, but it's nothing's come yet.
All right, so at some point during the next 2 hours, we could have news of new baby.
Well, she went in on Friday, and it's now Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's a long labour, that is.
Mm.
So that would make you an uncle then, wouldn't it, today? If it was born.
Yeah, on your birthday.
Yeah, it's a good day to have a birthday.
What, a Sunday?
Well, that as well, yeah. But June the 5th, it's a good day. It's almost equidistant between the Christmases.
Oh yeah, mine's rubbish, mine's 30th of December.
Yeah.
Not quite as bad as Dave's. Dave's is on 25th of December, on Christmas Day.
He is the second coming.
Yeah, Dave, or Jesus, as I like to call him. So, just carrying on the birthday theme... there were some famous people born on the same day, in the same year.
All right.
None on the same... Oh, no, none on the same day. Will Young was born the same year as you.
Was he?
Yeah, a bit older than you. Pete Doherty.
Right.
Simon Webb from Blue.
Oh, wow. I'm in great company.
Joanne will know him. Our friend Joanne. Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Wow.
Tony London... from Liberty X.
All of the pop stars.
Joe O'Meara from S Club 7. Danny Foster from Hearsay. Bloody hell, it was a bad year, wasn't it?
On the very day, on June the 5th, Mark Wahlberg was born.
Oh, I've not got that in this list.
Yeah. But not in 1979.
Oh, sorry.
He's older.
Do you know what I'm doing? These are all the musicians that were born in the same year. That's why they're all musicians.
I think musicians for some of those is a very loose term.
Yeah, we've got Abs Love from 5, spelt the number 5, IVE. Shane from Westlife.
Wow.
This is not very good, is it? Let me find people that were born on the 5th of today, June.
Because that's relevant for all the listeners.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Celebrities born today. There we go.
I'm actually looking on IMDb to see what actors and stuff.
I'm not very good at doing this. I should have done it before the show.
Yeah, there's not many kind of famous, really famous ones that.
Let's have a look at deaths.
Yeah.
Always comes back to that eventually, doesn't it?
Yeah. Speaking of which, if in the next hour and 45 minutes news comes through of Jack Black's death from Tenacious D, we shall bring that to you.
Of who?
Jack Black from Tenacious D. Apparently this morning, the Tenacious D account on Twitter has announced that Jack Black is dead.
Oh, no.
I think it's a joke.
Yeah.
But some people are taking it very seriously. I think what they're doing is they're having a little bit of a joke at the expense of the people that do all the hoaxes about celebrities dying.
Yeah. How many times has Bob Hoskins died now?
Oh, several million.
Told you a million times, James, don't exaggerate.
But to be fair, he did Mario Brothers, didn't he? So he probably deserves it.
Anyway, time for the first song of the day, I think. Wow. So this is Charlotte.
This is the best thing. A temple disgraced. Yeah, so there's a cool story about this song, Luke.
Really? Tell me more.
Yeah. There's a film that came out, a Belgian film, surprisingly, called Belgica.
Wowza.
And Solwax, one of the most famous bands out of Belgium, who are also Too Many DJs and all that, were asked to do the soundtrack to the film. But rather than just do a normal kind of Solwax album, they created 16 fictional bands with different styles of music and made that the soundtrack. And that was one of them. That was Charlotte with The Best Thing. It's actually Solwax.
What, so they created the bands for the film? There's characters in the film?
No, just for the soundtrack.
Right.
Just basically made up 16 bands for the soundtrack.
And that's
made 16
cool.
Different songs, all in different styles, like punk rock, there's that electronic stuff. There's even a kind of Turkish house kind of dance thing, which is I couldn't ever describe any of the lyrics or anything, but it is pretty awesome. It's a very good album. It's my favourite album of the year, I think,
really?
So far. Yeah.
That is interesting.
I'm a big fan of Solwax, but yeah, the new album is brilliant.
Ah, well, check it out.
You were trying to pay contactless on your phone there. You just picked your phone up.
It's every time I try and unlock the thing with the fingerprint thing,
yeah,
it brings up the Apple Pay.
Why?
I don't know.
You have to double tap for Apple Pay.
Yes, I know, that's what I'm doing.
You don't even have to click it if you're using your fingerprint. You just rest it on.
Sometimes it won't do it, though. Look. So you've got to press it.
No, you just rest it on. Look, no press. This is really interesting.
This
radio.
Is not... That's not locked.
Yeah. But there you go. Just hold your finger on for a second. It comes
do
up.
You, are you pressing it, are you pressing it down?
No.
Look. I'm doing it.
Well... Just
you got to click it.
Anyway, stop doing it wrong.
I just showed you. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Forget it. I'm on now. No, I saw something in the news which I thought was a bit bizarre. Really, Dr. Heimlich, who's invented the Heimlich manoeuvre,
yes,
to prevent people choking. I didn't realise he'd never actually done it before until a couple of weeks ago.
Mm.
He's 96 now. And he actually saved a choking woman at his retirement home.
By doing the Heimlich manoeuvre?
By doing the Heimlich manoeuvre.
Wow.
I know, crazy. It's obviously saved a woman's life, so it's brilliant and everything, but it's probably saved loads of lives as well, because they teach it in first aid and that, don't they? But I can't believe he'd never done it. I can't believe that's the first time he's done it.
That's pretty amazing. Carrie Fisher from Star Wars was saved using the Heimlich manoeuvre by...
Princess Leia?
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, wasn't it?
It wasn't Harrison Ford, was it? It was
dunno.
Whoever became her husband. Another actor, definitely, but whoever became her husband, and they got married after. He saved her life in the Heimlich manoeuvre. not to be confused with the hind lick manoeuvre.
Is that not for radio?
No. Good. Let's move on.
Oh, dear. Obviously that's the manoeuvre that requires abdominal thrusts to free the airway.
Right, okay. Is that not for radio too?
Well, you know, I mean...
Got a little bit Rocky Horror Picture Show, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Carrie Fisher. It's believed to have saved more than 100,000 people just in the US.
Yeah.
And they include former President Ronald Reagan, pop star Cher.
Wow.
Former New York Mayor Edward Koch.
Coke. Yeah, let's get this right. Coke.
It looks like cock.
As in cockerel, yes. But no, it's coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll carry on. Hollywood actors Elizabeth Taylor, Goldie Hawn, Carrie Fisher, like you said, Jack Lemmon, and Marlene Dietrich.
Walter Matthau. What a legend.
Did I miss him out?
Yeah. Do you know if there's nobody else around to give you that Heimlich manoeuvre, do you know what you're supposed to do?
Do it yourself.
How do you do it?
Do you know?
You have to find a flat, solid surface and run backwards into it as hard as you can.
Oh, right. Does... saying that, I suppose. I was going to say...
squeak, saving lives every Sunday.
Would that not then pose risks to breaking your back?
Yeah, but if you're choking, then it's the better of two evils, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. And in 2014, Clint Eastwood was credited with saving the life of a golf tournament director in California who was choking on a piece of cheese.
Cheese is so dangerous. Especially cheese strings.
I don't eat cheese strings. They're not proper cheese.
No, it's not, is it?
No.
No. What about mini baby bells?
Again. Not bothered. Do you know what I do like? Mexicana cheese.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
But again, it cripples me after a while. And Simon Cowell was also reportedly saved by comedian David Williams, who carried out the manoeuvre after a mint...
So there are some downsides to it.
Yeah. After a mint became stuck in his throat.
Right. Okay. There's lots I could say, but I'm not going to...
Yeah.
So, Dr. Heimlich.
What a guy.
Yeah. Legend.
96, so he's had a good innings.
He has.
And we've lost another one in the last few days. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a bit of a tribute to him at the end of the show.
We have, so we'll come on to that later. Have you seen new Top Gear?
I have. Bless you.
I knew it was coming. What did you think?
I think that basically what is happening, and it's been happening for a long time, right? Even when Jeremy Clarkson was there, what's been happening is Top Gear is the BBC's most successful show. Like, sells worldwide, makes the BBC a lot of money, BBC Worldwide a lot of money. And then there's certain media outlets that don't like the BBC because of the license fee and whatever else, and they just basically pick on Top Gear and they try and sabotage it by giving it all negative press all the time and making up lots of rubbish. And then all the feeble idiots read those columns,
jump on
and believe
the bandwagon,
in it. Yeah. Because it's front page of the Sun or whatever, then people believe it, and it's generally not true. And I think, you know, it was keeping the same format as Top Gear, which everybody kind of expected a little bit. There's Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc, fair enough. And it was okay. It wasn't brilliant. It wasn't terrible.
Well, let us know what you think about Top Gear. We'll be talking about it a bit more after Midge Ure.
Midge Ure. And the man who sold the world. In the world.
In the world.
So you'll probably know that better as either a Bowie or a Nirvana song.
Yeah, it's Bowie for me. Didn't Lulu do a version as
yes,
well?
Yes, she did, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that, which
was marginally better than this. We've had a text.
You're not a fan.
We've had a text flooding saying a top tune has been totally ruined, and get me some food from Morrison's. But that's directed for somebody else.
It's a classic. I love it. Biggio's did a great version.
I didn't know he'd done this, to be honest.
Yeah, it's no Vienna, but it's a nice different take on a classic song. You're not impressed.
No, it's not for me. Top Gear then. I watched it twice. So I think the first
commitment.
Time. Yeah. The first time, I think you were comparing it against Hammond, Clarkson, and May.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't do that because it's going to be different, you know. And it's not like Top Gear has always been Clarkson, May, and Hammond. It hasn't. It's been going for a long time, and it had in the '70s. It had sort of Noel Edmonds and Angela Rippon and yeah, whoever else. So they have changed presenters before. I don't know. I mean, I think obviously. Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc were a bit nervous when that came across, I think. And everybody was saying, Chris, stop shouting. He was just shouting all the time.
But everybody knows that that's his style of delivery. Everyone knew that that was what was going to happen, surely.
Yeah. Well, like you said, people have been critical on Twitter and social media. Yeah.
We're going to get a Clarkson, Hammond and May. This is a thing everyone's saying. It's not Clarkson, Hammond and May.
The other one then.
Yeah, we're going to get one, so it's fine.
Well,
go on.
Sorry, Chris Evans has retaliated on Twitter. He's saying...
Facts.
Yeah, the new a bit like Rafael Benitez. The new Top Gear is a hit, officially, in big letters. 23% audience share, 12% more than the opening episode of the last series. These are the facts. He said he'd have been disappointed if the show had got less than 5 million viewers, but initial figures showed about 5.6 million, obviously with the iPlayer people watching on recorded shows and whatever.
It's one of the most downloaded shows on iPlayer of the year so far, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't know that. But, I mean, yeah, you can understand why, and I think it'll take a while to bed all of the presenters in. Because I'm not sure how well they all gel together.
But again, if you go back to the first series of the now old new Top Gear in 2002.
They had somebody else in there in the first series,
didn't
they?
James May wasn't in the first series, was he, I don't think.
No.
And again, they changed it round for the second series. And even then, when it was Clarkson, May and Hammond, it didn't kind of gel for a good few years.
Yeah.
And it was only when they started being more and more silly it became so big.
I'm just trying to find who the original lineup was. There we go, hold on a minute. Jason Dore.
Yeah, Jason Dore, that's it.
Just did the one series. So yeah, I mean...
And then you've got people complaining, like, where's the news gone and stuff like that. So people do want it to be the same format. But then you watch Extra Gear on iPlayer.
I thought that was boring.
I enjoyed that. It's kind of a little bit of a look behind. They do the news on that. I think that the best car presenter out of the lot...
is Chris Ramsey.
Yeah, he's...
I agree.
Chris Ramsey, and he's like, what, fourth fiddle, isn't he, for the whole thing?
Probably fifth, because Chris Evans and Matt LeBlanc, and then they got Sabine Schmitz.
Yeah.
And then Rory Reid and Chris Ramsey are seemingly just part of the Extra Gear setup. I didn't think Rory Reid was that likeable. He obviously seems all right, a nice guy, but
I thought he bounced well off Chris Ramsey, I thought.
I don't know. I don't know. It just looked like they'd never met each other to me.
Yeah, but that Extra Gear was more like, between the presenters, was more like what Clarkson, May and Hammond was.
Yeah, it was more relaxed, wasn't it?
Yeah, whereas kind of it felt a bit forced in Top Gear. I think Matt LeBlanc is great in the filmed bits, but the studio bits is not.
No.
So just leave Chris Evans as the one-show type anchor in the studio and get everyone else out.
Anchor.
That's my advice. I said anchor.
Yeah. Lost my train of thought. Oh right, yeah, I know what you're saying. I think they'd be better off losing Rory Reid, and sort of everybody doing everything. and bringing Chris Ramsey into the main fold, because I think he's a bit like me in that he's wooden, says what he thinks, and he's quite funny. I thought.
Yeah, he was dry. He was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see the next series him being promoted to the main show.
Mm.
I'm having a little bit of a rejig.
Yeah, I think so. I think six is too many, and we've not seen Andy Jordan yet, so I don't know where he's going to fit in with it.
Yeah, he's only doing occasional things, isn't he? I think.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's on this week's show, doing something or other.
We'll find out tonight.
Yes. And the best show in the world.
In the world. And then, obviously, like you say, Amazon Prime is bringing out the Grand Tour.
Yes.
Sometime in autumn. So.
Yeah.
You've already said you're going to be subscribing.
Yeah.
Or have you already got it?
I haven't got it, no. But I'll find some kind of trial deal to just give
try
it a look.
Trial it.
Yeah.
See what it's like. It's going to be good, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And Andy Willman's there. And so Clarkson and Hammond and May, so it's just going to be the same,
yeah.
but bigger and with more money.
That's it, and around the world as well, and taking it to different places. The thing is, it's not going to be the same because they can't take the exact format that they used on Top Gear, because that's still being used by the BBC. So,
well, can you? It's a format's a format, though, isn't it? It's a car magazine show. So it's,
yeah,
there's going to be. They'll probably just have a couple of new sections in,
yeah.
But they can't do the Star and the Reasonably Priced Car, because that's under license, isn't it?
That's it. And they can't do anything like the Stig. So it'll be three middle aged blokes messing about in cars,
yeah,
that nobody can afford, around in locations that nobody can afford to go to.
Yeah, so in that sense, it'll be the same.
Exactly.
Anyway, time for the next song, and it's another one on your birthday list, is it, James?
It is. It says Eels, Fresh Blood.
Yeah, do get in touch on the Twitter, at The Squeak. We're here until 3.
Yay!
If that's a good thing or a bad thing for you, listeners. Listener, this is the Eels. Squeak on 93.2 FM.
Eels, what a great suit tune that is.
Yeah, very good. That will have been far too loud for the listener's ears, so apologies for that.
Sorry. But yeah, that was the theme tune to a documentary series called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths of Robert Durst, which is an amazing documentary that everyone should see. It's just brilliant.
Yeah, I've still not managed to find it yet. Obviously that came about because I were telling you that I was enjoying Making a Murderer so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said watch this one.
Yeah, it's really good. I think the quality of the way it's shot and everything, and then it all builds up to the big revelation at the end where it was in the news where Robert Durst was still mic'd up, went to the toilet and pretty much seemed to admit to the murders, like to himself, talking to himself in the toilet whilst he was still mic'd up.
You should never talk to yourself. That's the lesson.
Yeah, we're doing it to like nobody now, so what's the difference?
Yeah, but we're not murderers, though.
How do you know?
Yeah, we mentioned the addition to the losses of 2016. Well, there's another one.
Yeah.
The Cadbury's Drum Gorilla.
Oh.
Also known as Harambe.
There's some kind of sick joke in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, obviously, I'm talking about this gorilla that's been shot.
You can't feel it coming in the air tonight, can it?
Obviously not, no. Monkey tennis?
Which, by the way, there's a new podcast called Monkey Tennis, which is about Alan Partridge, and you need to listen to it, it's brilliant.
Why didn't we think of doing that?
I know, I actually am kicking myself. And bizarrely, it's one of the... Somebody that I know who lives down south, who's a Wednesday fan, who listened to us doing the Owls Talk podcast and were inspired to do the monkey tennis podcast.
Wow. Well, back on the gorilla. The director of a US zoo has defended the decision to shoot the gorilla after the small boy fell into its enclosure.
Yeah.
He said he'd make the same call again. I mean, what do you think? Obviously, it's gone viral. It sparked a load of anger on social media about how it could happen and why they shot the gorilla.
I could understand why they've done it, to be honest. It's we do value human life more than anything else, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, anything could have happened to that kid. And people were saying, why didn't they tranquilise it? Because a tranquilizer doesn't get into the system quick enough.
Yeah. And the argument was, well, if we did trank the gorilla, there's no guarantee they wouldn't lash out.
And yeah, obviously if it's going to feel the dart getting, like, be hurt by the dart hitting it, and then just, you know, it can lash out. So I can understand it. Carl Pilkington was asked about it on and Ask Me Anything on Reddit the other day, and his view was that there's only, like, 900 gorillas left in the world, silverback gorillas, and there's millions of kids, so, you know... Let's balance it up a bit.
Say what you think, Carl. controversial, eh?
Mm. Yeah, but obviously it's sad. Yeah, as all well as much as Carl Pilkington can be.
Well, the director Thane Maynard has said, you know, the criticisms are from people that don't understand primate biology and the danger that the child was in. Like we say.
Well, that's it. There's so many people commented on it, but what do they know about the behavioural aspects of gorillas and? Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
Of course you don't.
So, yeah, I can understand exactly why they've done it. It's sad that they have done it, but, you know, it probably needed to be done on that. Well, and they're there, and they have to make a snap decision, don't they?
Of course, yeah. But you were saying last night, everyone's yelling, keep calm, keep calm. You're not going to be calm, mate.
Yeah, yelling it all, yelling keep calm over and over again at a very loud voice is the last thing that's going to keep you calm.
And not only that, it was agitating the gorilla as well.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? All shouting
it's
at
like, have you seen the IT crowd? Where Renham is talking to Jen about the stress course, and he's just constantly in her face going, are you stressed, Jen? Are you stressed? Jen, are you stressed?
Is that the guy that does the voiceovers on Absolute Radio?
No, it's not. It's Chris Morris, that one.
Oh, right.
But the Absolute Radio guy is Matt Berry, isn't he?
No, Chris Morris. He was in The Day Today.
That's it, yeah. Brass Eye.
Brass Eye. Yeah.
And wrote Nathan Barley with Charlie Brooker.
What's that?
It's an old. It only lasted for two series, I think.
Oh, right. I don't think I've seen that one.
It's basically, you watch it now and you think it was a documentary about the future because it... It's about idiots taking over the world.
Oh.
Like, you know, like your stylish kind of bloggers and stuff like that. And it's pretty much coming true. But yeah, the guy on Absolute Radio, the voiceover guy, is Matt Berry. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Big until that.
What did he say? He was doing one for... he was giving publicity to another radio station now, but he was doing something for Stone Roses, a Stone Roses thing, and he was just like... How many different ways could you say Stone Roses?
Stone Roses.
That was my favourite one. He must have a right laugh recording now.
It's brilliant. If you've ever seen House of Fools, which is now on Netflix, if you've got Netflix, the Vic and Bob sitcom-y thing, Matt Berry's in that, and like every half an hour episode, around about 5 to 10 minutes in, Matt Berry's in it, he makes an entrance, and like... Just in this like house kind of set that they got, walks through the door, does a song and dance number for a minute or two, like big massive in his voice that he does, and then just carries on with the rest of the show as though nothing's happened. It's amazing, really funny. He is the big until that.
He is funny. What was the one he was in? Oh, he was in the IT crowd.
He was, yeah. He was.
Never watched that.
It was Chris Morris's son in it. You've never watched... Oh, my God. We need to have some conversations about this. Because it actually transpired last night.
I'd forgotten about this. Dear
listeners, it transpired last night that Luke hasn't seen Ghostbusters.
No, I've not. I've seen it briefly when I was little, but I can't really remember what happens.
Just unbelievable.
I think it scared me a bit. I was very young.
Yeah, I can see it being scary to a young kid. There's also other films that we're talking about that you're not seeing as well.
Yes, and I've done a, I've got a degree in media production.
My gosh.
Yeah, I used to get this. I'd not had this for obviously when I was studying. All of my mates at uni were constantly ripping me to shreds because I'd not seen so many iconic films. I can do a media production degree if you haven't seen any films. And then that stopped when I left uni about 4 years ago. And then last night, it started again.
Yeah, we need to put these things right. We need to sort this out.
Well, two of the people giving me stick had not seen, and still haven't seen, Shawshank Redemption, which is the best film ever made.
Yeah, it's quite unforgivable. Yeah. And did Dave say he'd not seen The Green Mile?
Oh, yes, he did, yeah. I've seen that as well. That's a good film.
Yeah, unbelievable, Dave.
Yeah.
There's so many good films. Like, what else? You've not seen Anchorman, from memory.
Anchorman?
Yeah, what...
Oh, no, I've seen Anchorman, yeah.
Oh, you've seen Anchorman?
Yeah, that's the Will Ferrell one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ron Burgundy.
And that's it, the legend.
Faith says it's too long. It's not too long, it's just a normal film.
What's The Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Wondered what she was talking about there.
The Wings.
Yeah,
only the band The Beatles could have been.
The Shawshank Redemption's brilliant film. It's not too long.
No, it's not.
It's one of those that flies by as you're watching it because it's that good and engrossing.
I don't know where she's got that from. Yeah. It's not like Lord of the Rings, which is like 3.5 hours.
Oh,
it's just a standard film. Then there are some other films that I've not seen which were driving you all crazy.
Yeah, I can't remember what they were now.
No, I can't. A lot was drank.
It was. I'm still feeling it now.
I'll get round to it. Anyway, probably the last song of the hour.
Yes.
It's Erasure.
It is. This is for a remix album. Erasure's 30 years old this year. They did a remix album a couple of years ago, and this is the latest version of Hallowed Ground.
You listen to The Squeaker 93.2 FM. It's not the last song of the show, because we're here till 3. So
yeah, stay tuned.
Stay with us. Or if you haven't been listening, then we won't know. Close and there's a kid on the run. The words scream out from gun to gun. Everybody's intent on being someone. Cold and darkness of the criminal.
Just pick up my mic there. Yeah, we decided to stand up and, like, for the first time ever. It's interesting.
It's different.
Yeah, so that was Erasure with Hallowed Ground, Vince Clarke's big mix for the anniversary of the Innocence album.
And again, another one on your birthday list. You're a big Erasure fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I do love a bit of Erasure. We're very nearly up to the 2 o'clock hour.
Yes, when we should be starting.
Yes.
So, we've had at least 2-3 listeners. So
yeah, we've almost run out of things to say, to talk about. But let's just carry on and see exactly how it goes. We got some local music coming up in the next hour, as we normally would do on The Squeak.
Yeah. If you're in a band or you know people that are, send us your music in, because we'll play it.
Yeah.
Or if not, we'll have to listen to dodgy versions of good songs by Major and some Erasure.
That was a classic song. It was a great version of... I know everybody likes the Bowie version, and Nirvana did a fantastic cover, but Midge's version of The Man Who Sold the World is great.
It's an acquired taste.
If you like electronic music, you've got to love that. It's great.
I do, though, and I don't. I like Gary Numan and Tube Army and that.
What about Vienna? Do you like Vienna?
Yeah.
By Ultravox?
Yeah, yeah. I don't mind Ultravox, I just didn't like that version. It's not Midge in general. I like the Band-Aid number.
Yes, indeed. Which everyone forgets was Midge.
Yeah.
Old Geldof gets all the plaudits for that, doesn't he?
I know, he's been living off I Don't Like Mondays for about, 37 years.
Yeah, indeed.
Right.
Do you know what I Don't Like Mondays is about?
Yes.
Yeah, it's about a massacre.
Went in and basically killed all of the classmates and everything.
Pretty much.
On a rampage.
Nice, depressing thought on a sunny Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it always comes back to death, doesn't it? It's a nice day in Sheffield today. There's not many people about.
It is indeed.
Maybe they're enjoying the gardens.
Maybe so. Maybe they were all out. Maybe they're all out on Friday for BBC Music Day that happened all around Sheffield. We'll talk about that in the next hour as well.
All right, okay. Well, there's no adverts, so we may as well just soldier on.
All right.
Is it 2 o'clock yet?
It's very nearly 2 o'clock.
Well, we'll just...
Well, the machine has broken, so...
Oh, yeah.
Dear advertisers, we apologise.
Yes.
That. In fact, you know all the adverts off by heart.
I could do the voice.
You can do them live. Go on, do one. Do Mr. Compensator.
No, can't. I can't. Can't do it live. I thought, well, what I might do is I might just play with the sustain and put it up for 2 o'clock, and then we'll have at least one advert.
Yeah, well, can try it.
That's the only thing we can do. We do need to honour the advertising commitments.
Indeed. When everything works.
Yeah. Not ideal. So you've just got to play guesswork with that and put it up at the right time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Smooth. Smooth. Well done.
No, it's not smooth. It's Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
I meant you were very smooth in how you just dealt with that whole situation of the others not working. All those voices you just did when you read them live then.
I know, yeah. I did say, no, I can't do it, but I can.
Yeah.
Friends.
You're listening to The Squeak.
With me, James Hargreaves.
And me, Luke Crofts.
Again, voice swap. Marvellous.
You're brilliant at this.
I know, yeah.
Yes, 93.2 FM, Sheffield Live, and yeah, this is our normal hour.
Yeah, this is our normal hour.
We've already done an hour.
If you've just tuned in, where have you been? We've been on since 1 o'clock, doing a special 2-hour extended show. Yeah. And it's James's birthday.
Woohoo! Happy birthday to me.
1979 makes 37.
Apparently, yeah. That's what I was told.
Same year as some really excellent musicians, such as Will Young, Abs from Five.
Wow. I mean, someone from Liberty X.
Can't remember his name. Something London.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what we can say about Liberty X. Nobody can remember any of them.
One of them's just won The Voice. Pete, something Sim. Not John.
Well,
I don't even know his last name, Sim.
Again, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Was Mylene Klass in Liberty X?
No, she was in Hearsay, wasn't she?
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
Was that when they won Pop Stars The Rivals?
Yeah, I think
or
so.
Or just Pop Stars?
It was The Rivals, wasn't it? I think we got...
What was
Pop
The
Stars
Rivals?
Was Will Young and Gareth.
No, that was Pop Idol.
Oh, yeah. See, shows how much attention I pay to that rubbish on the telly.
Yeah. And it was like sort of 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you didn't pay attention the first time, you're not going to be able to remember much anyway, really.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, welcome to The Squeak. If you've been with us since 1, we apologise.
yeah, you've got another hour.
Another hour of Stevie Wonder and Happy Birthday on loop.
Yeah, if it's not driven you mad yet, like it has me, then...
Yeah,
but we do have some local music coming up. We've got some Sheaf, some Polka Dodge, Our Saving Day, and we've got a little bit of a tribute to Muhammad Ali.
But we're going to leave that as a surprise, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's quite an obvious one. Local music tribute to Muhammad Ali.
We were dancing to it last night.
We were indeed. Singing along at the top of our voices, as were lots of people at Mossborough Music Festival.
Yes,
there's another clue.
I was going to say about that actually, because I've seen a lot of stuff on my social media feeds. Carlton Malone has been there as press. He's been taking photographs.
Carl as press.
I know. Yeah, he's bought a camera now. He's press.
Although to be fair, I've seen like lots of shots of him doing interviews with bands. So.
Yeah, no, it looked like a really good day out.
Yeah.
there was quite a lot happening yesterday. Obviously, it was we went out for your birthday, but there was the Mosborough Music Festival. There was the Three Valleys Beer Festival in Drumfield.
My birthday was the most important of all of them.
Obviously, yeah. Well, that's because we ate all the food.
Indeed. All of the meat.
All of the meat.
Yeah. I think that for all the mentions we've given Red's Barbecue here, they should A, give Sheffield Live some money, and B, give us
a free
of
meal.
Free food.
Yeah. We might get a discount on letting with whoever that was at the top of the hour.
Martin and Co.
Was that what it
was? You're not paying attention?
Well, I couldn't. I just had to read from the script when I was doing it. So it didn't go in. What was the other one? Peace in the Park.
You said peace. Peace in the Park.
Peace.
We're not condoning urinating in on the village green.
Or indeed anywhere in public. So yeah, no, it's been a good weekend, and you know, it feels like the summer started now, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's nice and sunny. I've even worn my sunglasses today.
Yeah, and the only reason you've taken them off is because you couldn't wear them with the headphones.
Pretty much.
Otherwise, I'm sure he would have kept them on.
I was going to do a Bono and wear them indoors everywhere, along with a stupid hat.
Was that during the Rattling Hum days, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not a hat person.
No. And then, who's the other one? Is it The Edge that wears the beanie?
He wears the beanie, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what a boring band.
I like it. I think they're all right.
You slated Midior earlier, so I'm getting you back.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I've seen something this week, which is, I mean, obviously, Leicester are still riding the crest, aren't they? And they're in cloud nine,
indeed,
whatever. It came about that Jamie Vardy had got a lookalike. And when Leicester were doing the open top bus parade through the city, he actually got pulled onto the team bus and parted with them. It transpires in the last sort of week or whatever, Jamie Vardy and his other half have blocked the lookalike on Twitter and social media. Lee Chapman, he's called, and the resemblance is quite striking.
Not the Lee Chapman.
Who's that?
Don't you remember Lee Chapman, the ex-Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United star striker?
No. How far are we going back?
Go back to about... Wednesday was about 88-ish.
Wow, I was born in 1989, so that's why I don't remember.
Oh, my God.
There'll always be that 10-year age gap. 10 and a half.
I forget. I sometimes forget I'm talking to the guy that's never seen The Goonies.
Yeah, or Lost Boys.
Or Lost Boys.
lots of films that I haven't seen.
Just... You need educating in life.
I can accept the films. I feel a bit hard done to if I get slated for not remembering someone that played football for Wednesday a year before I was born.
You should know every single player.
Anyway. We can argue all day, and we probably will on the way home. But no, Lee Chapman, he said he's been... he is a poster in real life. And he's taken a career break because he's been posing for like pictures and... whatever else, says he's heartbroken to be blocked. I mean, it's a bit strange, isn't it?
Has anybody worked out any reason why you would block him?
No.
Has he actually been abused?
Jamie Vardy's agent's not really made any comment, but it just seemed a bit strange.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's gone from meeting like one of his heroes in his childhood football team.
So he's actually a Leicester fan.
Yeah, he's been a Leicester fan for all his life.
Right. That's the difference. If it was just a random world that looked like him, that then...
Well, yeah, obviously it'd be a bit
like
weird,
like Lee Nelson does, where he jumps on stage at FIFA and stuff like that. If it was something like that.
Huh?
No, Lee Nelson, the... sorry, happy birthday's putting me off again. Yeah, Lee Nelson, he
happy
kind of...
Happy birthday.
Didn't he hijack the England
happy
squad?
Happy birthday. I don't know who that is. Lee Nelson?
Yeah, from the telly Bob shows things. Do a quick Google on him.
Lee Nelson. Type Lee in and Lee Harvey Oswald comes up.
Wow.
I know.
Conspiracy.
Oh. Lee Nelson.
I'm sure it's Lee Nelson.
Simon Benjamin Brodkin is an English comedian performing both on the stand-up circuit and in comedy television series. Is it him? For the benefit of the radio.
That's it, yeah.
So I don't understand then.
I'm sure he got himself a suit that was similar to the England squad at the last tournament.
Right.
And jumped on the plane with them and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember...
And then didn't he go to FIFA and start throwing around loads of money in front of Sepp Blatter saying, I've got your bride.
Oh, was that him?
I think so,
Yeah, that's one of the really sort of well-known photographs now.
Yeah.
Because he was just dollar bills flying all over the place.
Yeah, he does lots of little stunts like that. I believe it's him. If it's not him, then I've just been talking rubbish for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, we digress slightly. I mean, yeah, it's not clear why he's been blocked.
But to be fair...
Apparently Jamie Vardy's other half, I don't know if he's married or wife or what, she said he's been tagging himself in all these pictures and just becoming a bit of a nuisance, but no official word.
Well, if he's been doing that, then fair enough, really.
Saying that, I've had to block plenty of people that have been liking our tweets.
Really?
Because I think they've been spam.
Really?
Women in revealing outfits and stuff.
Oh, right. Before you block them, send them my way so I can have a look first.
I don't think they're real people.
On Facebook, I've only ever blocked two people on Facebook, and one of them was this week, and it was my brother.
Have you blocked him?
Yeah.
Why? What's he done now?
He was just being...
himself, yeah. He looked like he had a good weekend in London with Neil anyway.
I think Neil had a good weekend in London.
Did he remember any of it?
I think he remembers very little. I don't think he actually remembers any of the game.
Well, a few people stumbled on BBC Look North for Humberside and North Lincolnshire.
Now that was funny.
It was very funny. Obviously after the result, Look North for that region of the country managed to find some Hull fans. Don't know how. and we're doing vox pops. You know, how do you feel about the game? The next season, all this rubbish. And there's this one bloke going absolutely barmy, bless him. It looked like he had a good day out. Neil's there over his shoulder, making faces to the camera and sort of mouthing, you know, what's he on about and all this. What?
The thing is...
It was hilarious.
It was really funny. And also, hilarious. What you don't realise is how close he was. He was literally almost kissing the bloke's face.
It doesn't... Yeah, the camera is deceiving. Because... Yeah. Obviously, when I was at uni, you were saying, right, getting really close, and you think, oh, we're far too close here, it's going to look strange. But on the camera, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So you don't appreciate it, but he's literally got his head right over his shoulder in his face. And obviously, because you and Neil were both in plain clothes, they just assumed, I'm guessing, he was with the guy being interviewed.
But Carl Maloney commented on it, and I'm sure... Like, his point is correct, that how bad must the rest of the footage have been for them to leave that in?
I mean, the guy was quite passionate, and, you know, a really solid Hull fan, and he'd had a good day out, so yeah, you would use that, but I think, obviously, they just didn't realise. But saying that, you know, like I said, there weren't many Hull fans there, so they probably had to use what they could get.
No, well, that's a good point. Did you go to the fan parks before?
Yeah, we had... We did, about an hour before the game. We had one drink, because it took forever to get served, to be fair. It was really busy.
Yeah, we went to the fan parks probably a couple of hours before the game, before we crashed the hotel room and Neil trashed it.
Yeah, I saw him doing a lot of things with ironing boards and whatever else.
That dancing with an ironing board.
Yeah.
Yeah, he tried to jump out of the window at one bit. I had to pull him back from...
Well, you wouldn't have had to block him on Facebook if you'd have let him, would you?
Yeah, he went a bit nuts after being given champagne, prosecco, wine, lots of premium vodka, as well as a few beers.
Which premium vodka was it?
I haven't got a clue. It was one in a tall, straight bottle, and very large measures.
Mm.
Yeah, great. But yeah, the whole fan park was empty.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were walking through pretty much everywhere. We got the tube everywhere and we're on buses and that.
Mm.
Hardly saw any. Yeah. I mean, we took a lot of people, Wednesday, you know, a lot of Wednesday fans went that hadn't got tickets because they wanted to watch the game in the fan park and the bars surrounding it.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think, Hull didn't even fill their end.
No.
It was shameful, really. The Football League should have sold Wednesday more tickets because there were seven empty blocks and they'd sold us some blocks anyway. yeah. over and above his original allocation.
The way that Hull and Ticketmaster sold their allocations initially meant that they couldn't do it for segregation reasons. It's just a pain.
Well, they should have worked it out, though.
They should have done. Apparently, the clubs are told that if they can't guarantee a sellout, then they sell it block by block.
Yeah.
And then when is all the segregation's predefined.
Yeah.
And Hull and or Ticketmaster, whatever, didn't do that, apparently, and ended up with lots of empty seats.
Well, you know, it was a great weekend out anyway, but I suppose we should be grateful for the fact that Millwall have not come up. Because when they go anywhere on away days, there's always trouble, things getting smashed. I think one of the doors got ripped off one of the trams last year.
Did you?
So
last time we played them, yeah.
And we get a Barnsley derby. That's good. So we've got Barnsley, Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday.
It's going to be a really tough league though this year.
I agree. Well, I mean, Newcastle they're going to be in a really strong position now. Rafa stayed. Be interesting to see what happens at Villa.
Yeah,
could go into free fall.
They could do, but
I bet they don't though.
But they're still going to be a really strong team, and they're still going to. Oh my god!
Just found the bubbles.
You've actually got some bubbles from last night.
I'm wearing the same jeans.
Wow. That's.
You can't see it.
You might not want to do that on the equipment in here because we know how.
Oh yeah.
How sensitive it can be.
Might start working. Anyway, time for the first song of the hour, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it is the Sheafs. Or is it just Sheafs?
Just Sheafs.
Just Sheafs. No, the
Sheafs. This is quite a Sheffield sounding band.
I wonder if they go in the Sheaf on.
Maybe. Or Bramall a Sheaf Lane. Island, a Sheaf View.
Quite a lot of Sheafs.
Yeah. You'd imagine so, seeing as Sheffield's named after Sheafs. Yeah.
But this is just Sheafs.
Yeah. This is them doing live a song called Nobody's Watching.
Yeah. 93.2 FM, The Squeak. Get in touch on Twitter.
King of-
You can find that song on YouTube, Steel City Sessions. That's Sheafs with Nobody's Watching. They're playing the Rocking Chair on the 9th of June, Fiver Inn. Also with the Lapels and Adelphi.
Ah, Lapels, we played them last week, didn't we?
Yeah,
really not last good. Week, weren't you?
Well, the week before.
Week before.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, very really good. Very good. I'm sure Neil put something about Lapels. Are they playing down Sheffield soon?
Yeah, the Rocking Chair, like I just said.
Sorry, just weren't listening.
The 9th of June, Fiver Inn.
Oh, that's my it's my mate's birthday, that.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, he should have been born
four days earlier.
Yeah. Should have been born on the 5th. That's a much better day.
Yeah, anyway. What were we going to say? Ah, I've lost my train of thought now.
I don't know.
Should have written it down.
You know, this week, I thought, I've been really ill this week. I thought I was, like, actually dying or something.
You're always ill.
I am. I'm one of the illest persons I know. And I'm not speaking in, like, a Run DMC kind of way. You know, Beastie Boys. I'm not licensed to ill.
Oh, dear.
But, yeah, I've been really bad, right? Really struggling to breathe, like,
so you're going to struggle over the weekend.
Yeah, proper laid out and whatever, and went out yesterday. I was really struggling initially yesterday. And last night I got into the house, and exactly the same thing instantly hit me. And I think I've realised what it is.
What?
I think I'm being poisoned by the plug-in air fresheners.
Yeah, I mean, my mum's got one, right, and it's not a plug-in, it's just like a battery one. And she keeps it on top of her fridge.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But if you time it wrong and you go to the fridge, you get sprayed in the face.
Brilliant.
And then obviously some of it will go into the fridge and contaminate what's
in the fridge. Do you think she's done it on purpose, knowing what you're like for stealing food out of the fridge?
I know, probably. It's normally the biscuit jar. I know it's the old cliche. She got some triples in the biscuit jar last time.
Some triples?
Mm. Do you know the biscuit with the chocolate in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. What did I have? I had I had a coffee with one of my old friends, and he got me a chocolate bar out of the machine, and I can't for the life of me remember what it was called now.
Great story.
Like, I know.
Same time next week.
Yeah, stay tuned for another one. It was like
a Star Bar.
No.
Double decker?
No, it was smaller. They come in like packs of 8 or 10, and they're like, it's chocolate with caramel, but like solid caramel.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called.
I haven't got a clue.
I'm going to have to text him. It's going to really annoy me. I'll text him in the next... I'll do it now. I'll text him in the next song.
Wow. That's
not. It's not going to add any benefit to the show.
Quality radio.
It'll just annoy me if I don't find out what it is.
Quality radio. Luke stood texting on his phone to try and find out the name of a biscuit.
It was Danny Pietnik. I went for a coffee with him, and he got me a thing out of the vending machine. And I was like, oh, I've not had one of these since I was a kid.
John McClure, Reverend of the Makers, has today been saying that all radio shows are too beige, and he's considering doing his own radio show. Well, yes, because what you find now with radio shows is it consists of somebody who's older than his time, who's never seen the Goonies, texting a friend as to what kind of chocolate biscuit he had from a vending machine.
It's true.
Brilliant.
It's true. Look, anybody can do a podcast now and broadcast it across the world.
And it'll be better than listening to you text.
I got it on silence, so you couldn't hear the things. Anyway.
That brings me on to another subject, actually, which is... There's been an Ask Reddit thread on Reddit,
okay,
which is where I get all of my quality news and information. The Ask Reddit thread is...
I thought you didn't like Reddit.
I love Reddit.
Oh, it's BuzzFeed that you don't like.
BuzzFeed just nicks stuff off Reddit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so what's something that took you way too long to realise? And some of the responses are great.
I thought you were asking me.
Well,
probably that I've not seen a lot of films that get me into hot water.
Well, there's one woman here who said that it took her way too long to realise that her sister's birthday was the same year and only 6 months before hers, which meant that she was adopted.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's groundbreaking.
Yeah, that's great. There's one where somebody got a new car, tried to open the driver's side door and failed, thought it was broken, so for the next 6 months used the passenger door to get in and climb over to the driver's seat And it was only when somebody saw her and said, "What are you doing?" said, "Look, the door's broken," and went to open the door and it unlocked. So for 6 months she's been climbing over the passenger seat.
How stupid is that though?
It's
so
crazy.
she bought a new car?
A new used car, so.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not one that she could have took back kind of thing, I don't know.
Surely you would ask though, why does this door not open? It's fairly integral.
Yeah.
It's not, if you've done it open, it's not a door, is it?
Use your key and unlock it.
Wow.
So somebody said they'd never understood where sandbags came from until yesterday, apparently. They always assumed that the bags of actual sand were shipped to wherever they needed to be, which seems to be really inefficient, and he's never had any reason to look into it further. Only yesterday, when he was watching some documentary on World War One, did it occur to him that the sand was just whatever earth was collected from the trenches that were being dug. Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, too much time on his hands, I would say.
Yeah.
What? When do you get to the point where you say, "Oh, I wonder where sandbags come from"? How bizarre.
Well, where do you get to the point where you say, "What's the name of that chocolate bar? I must text my friend in the middle of a radio show"?
I was just going to say, and stay tuned for the breaking of the chocolate bar that I ate last week. I'm starting to get hungry now. I've been that hungover this morning that I didn't want to eat. I had a small bowl of cereal.
All the talk of chocolate bars.
And biscuits.
Yeah.
It's your fault for mentioning the plug-in air fresheners.
Do you know, I genuinely think that the plug-in air freshener was killing me.
They can't be very good for you because it's full of chemicals, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you're breathing that in.
That's it. And I realised, it was only like a realisation that after I got the shopping delivered the other day, plugged in these plug-in air fresheners, and then I started feeling really bad after that.
Mm.
Like, to the point where I was laid up, not able to breathe for a few days.
Do you have asthma then?
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then... Yeah, just last night when I walked into the house, because I've been ill, I've not been out of the house, went out of the house yesterday, so I was forced to go with you lot for some meat, which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Which I really did enjoy, and then got in and it hit me again, and made me feel bad again.
Yeah, it must be then. Yeah. Well, it's got to be something in the flat.
Yeah, so I've unplugged them all and thrown them in the bin.
When I did my old show,
not get back.
A few years ago, we had a guy called Alistair on who now does another show in the week, but he was an advanced medical practitioner or something like that. I could never remember what his job title was, and he'd do like a health segment, and we'd call him not Dr. Alistair, because we couldn't call him Dr. Alistair, because he said, you know, legally I'm not a doctor, you can't, you know.
Yeah.
We went, "Oh, we'll be fine." He went, "No, you can't. You can't do it."
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We called it not Dr. Alistair. So he might be able to help you.
Yeah. Well, I might ask him.
Yeah.
Let's get some advice. Mm. If anybody else knows that plug-in air fresheners kill you, then tweet us.
Yeah.
The squeak.
I think Unilever will be a bit gutted. I think they're one of the companies that make them.
I do think that I entered a promotion to get 2 free cinema tickets by buying those plug-in air fresheners, so at least I've got a trip to the cinema out of it.
Oh, have you actually?
I hope so.
You won?
I've had to claim them, and they come in the email or something, I don't know.
I see. Well, good luck.
I might go and see Ghostbusters, which you haven't even seen the original one.
The remake of Ghostbusters, we were talking about this last night, it's an all female cast, isn't it?
Yeah.
The main characters, anyway.
Yes, it's caused quite the controversy over the internets of people who shouldn't be allowed an opinion, having an opinion.
In your opinion?
In my opinion. It's all about opinions.
Allegedly. Just throw that in. Anyway, maybe you can. Maybe you can go and watch it. Should we have another song?
Yes, some great pop music, this one. Sheffield's pop sensations are back. This is a bit of polka dodge.
Yeah. You listen to The Squeak, 93.2 FM. It's just coming up to 2:30, only half an hour left.
Well, I know, I know, I know.
We've worked out on a biscuit.
It was a trio. I've just spent... How long was that song on for? I've just spent 3 minutes and 7 seconds Googling chocolate biscuits on the worldwide internet.
Wow.
And it was a trio.
So you found out that the biscuit that you had was a trio. Because you've not been texted back.
No, he's not texted me back. He's obviously not listening.
Just a quick plug for Polka Dodge as well. That's their latest tune all in my head. With their new bassist, Jack Galvin, that's joined them.
Oh, that's the guy from West Street Live. Says, that looks like Serge from Kasabian.
And they are playing the Leadmill with the Fontaines and Ashley Holland on the 9th of July. And again, reasonable, £5 tickets. That's a great lineup for a fiver. At the Leadmill as well. Better than £9.
I enjoyed that. That was good. It really helped fuel my searching power. the reason I've not had one for years is because United Biscuits have relaunched it.
Wow.
So they stopped making them and then they brought them back. Do you remember Trios?
I do, yeah. I remember the advert where it was like, Trio.
Oh, I don't remember. Because it had like the gold wrapping.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a club biscuit.
A little bit like
that. But bit different.
Yep. More chat about biscuits this time next week.
It's the biscuit segment. So, yeah, what else has been in the news then this week? Anything else bizarre? Like the last one?
Anything else bizarre? Well, not necessarily bizarre, but a cool thing for Sheffield and the rest of the country. But it was BBC Music Day on Friday, and Sheffield took part as part of the Sheffield Makers Festival thing as well. And there was lots and lots of cool stuff happening around the city. Did you see anything going on?
No. On Friday.
Were you at work?
I had a bit of a nightmare on Friday. I was out with my boss and his boss.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long day.
That's a lot of coffees for you to go running.
For
getting.
A Friday, well, it took 3 hours in the first call, when normally it doesn't take me anywhere near that. And then we got to the next call and we had lunch. Yeah. And I was like, this is ridiculous, this. And then Kev just would not stop talking about everything. And I was like... Phil was started standing up and are we going to crack on? And Kev's like, yeah, just go through. I was just like, I'm going to be working until like 7 o'clock in the evening at this rate.
Right.
So I had to drop a call and everything. So no, I was racing around on Friday, so I didn't see it.
Well, things that happened in Sheffield.
So in a word, no.
in Sheffield, things that happened. Lots of people have come together, like the universities, like so a lot of the venues and stuff all come together. There was a stage in Barker's Pool.
All right.
Where there was lots of bands on all throughout the day. There was just little pop-up events like a singer popping up in John Lewis or...
Oh, right.
Liberty Ship, the band, were playing on the trams. On the end of the tram. And if you got a tram as well, during the day on Friday, you know the little announcements that tells you the next stop and whatever?
Oh, Jarvis.
Old Jarvis did that, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned this last night, but I can't remember. Yeah.
Reverend of the Makers, or John from Reverend of the Makers, did a set at the Frog and Parrot. And
I didn't see any of this advertised.
Well, you're not looking in the right place.
Obviously. Why didn't they do it on a weekend, when they could hit more people?
Because it coincided with BBC Music Day, that BBC obviously
wanted to do
together.
On a Friday. Yeah. People are at work.
Great. But there has been that argument of why did it happen whilst people are at work and stuff. But like at 5 o'clock in the evening, an opera singer came out onto the balcony at the town hall and started singing Nessun Dorma.
Really?
Yeah, just little kind of niche things like that.
It's good, that, isn't it? I bet it's a nightmare to organise, but well worth it when it comes off. Obviously, this coming Friday, it will be the start of the European Championships.
Yes, indeed.
Have you watched any of the England friendlies?
No, I've not.
Neither have I. Not bothered about friendlies.
I used to watch absolutely everything England did, whether it was a friendly, whether it was a tournament. Like I'd be out in the pub watching it.
I think
every
my
time I don't anymore.
My enthusiasm for the national game sort of started to go downhill after 1998.
Yeah,
and that was my first World Cup as a young boy.
I was going to say, you were only a little nipper then, weren't you?
Yeah, I was...
Ignoring the Goonies ever happened and...
Blissfully unaware of Lee Chapman from 1988.
Yeah, indeed.
10 years previous at the time.
Indeed.
When I was actually a Wednesday mascot back then, and you got to choose which player you ran out with, and
Lee Chapman.
It was Lee Chapman.
Oh, that's why. Well, no wonder you remember him then.
Yeah, he was my favourite back then.
What's he doing? We'll have to do a segment. Where are they now? Yeah. Old Wednesday players from.
He married. 30 years what's ago. Her name? Leslie Ash.
Leslie
Ash's husband.
She's she died, didn't she? Leslie Ash.
Did she?
Hold on a minute. I better be correct on this.
Have we actually gone back to death?
Well,
this show is all about
just the
death.
Default.
I know she had the problem with the lips and stuff.
Oh yeah, Lee Chapman.
This whole show is live Google.
She's not dead. She's not dead.
She's not dead.
I know she was really, really ill. She was in Men Behaving Badly, weren't she?
She was, yeah. So, just like Jack Black, she's not dead.
And lots of other people. Lots of other people, yeah. Married to Lee Chapman.
Yes. The former Sheffield Wednesday and Leeds United star striker.
How old do you think she is, Leslie Ash?
Oh, she's got to be going on 50 now.
56.
A bit older than I thought.
Lee Chapman's 56 as well.
Yeah. I'm terrible at guessing ages of people, to be honest.
I'm not bad, me. But the thing is, people say, how old do you think I am? And then they get offended when you get it right.
Yeah.
So it's like, well,
what's
the point?
Why did you ask?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was a fun segment. So the EU vote is coming up.
Oh yeah, well.
Should we do some politics?
Just while we're on the Euros, what do you think our chances are?
Oh yeah.
As a national team? Because, you know, Tottenham have had a good season. We've got a lot of Tottenham's players in that squad that will link up together. Obviously got Jamie Vardy up front.
I don't hold out much hope, to be honest, but you know, I'm of the view, I'm taking a pessimist view in the hope that
you can only be happily bettered.
Yeah.
What was that?
I can't even think of the right word.
Pleasantly surprised. There we go. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I were looking at the fixture list, and the day we play Wales, it's on like a Thursday lunchtime or something.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal, is it?
No. But it is silly. Do you remember the Japan World Cup? That was like in the middle of the morning.
Yeah, but that was the other side of the world. This one's in France.
Yeah.
So, why? Why are they doing that?
Oh, it'll be TV audiences and...
Yeah. Probably.
All that kind of stuff.
Who wants to watch England versus Wales, though? England, English people and Welsh people. You know, to put it on early in the day, it's all right for people over, like, Australia, Japan, that side of the world, but they're not going to be bothered anyway.
Fair point.
I don't think we'll get much of an audience from Japan anyway, because they're not in the Euros.
Yeah, that is a good point. So it's obviously a European competition.
Yeah. But yeah, EU referendum is on the 23rd, and if you're not registered to vote by Tuesday, then you won't be able to vote.
Yeah, so get registered.
Well, I mean,
have your say.
I don't want to get too much into it because it's a bit boring. But what do you think about there's certain apps that are encouraging you to vote now? So when you go on Uber, it says, "Have you voted?"
Yeah.
Where were I? I think we're on Facebook. Facebook told me to register as well.
Yeah, Facebook has been prompting it.
What do you think about that? Do you think it's a good thing?
I think it's a good reminder, especially for the younger audience that aren't necessarily going to do it.
I agree.
Voting is an older thing, isn't it? Generally, politics is seen as an older thing.
I suppose so.
And like to get the younger crowd involved and actually talking about it and trying to dissect the actual facts rather than the rubbish that's been spouted.
Yeah, well, I know, and that's one of the things that annoys me about any campaign is all the garbage that comes out from both sides.
Yeah.
I'll just be happy on the 24th of June when it's all out of the way one way or another, and we can move on and talk about some other
polling's rubbish. Really close, though, isn't it? Not that the polls like mean much nowadays. But
well, they got the last general election wrong. Said it was going to be hung Parliament.
Yeah.
And Conservatives won by quite a margin, didn't they? So.
Yeah,
don't trust the polls.
Like 48-52 or something at the minute, the polls, to remain.
Oh, in favour?
I believe so, yeah.
Is it?
But what I was looking at this morning is, what an even better vote is Switzerland are voting on introducing a minimum basic income.
All right.
This is quite a complex thing, but narrowed down to the most simple version is that basically everybody gets given by the state a minimum income of whatever it is, like might be £1,000 a month or whatever.
Like a minimum wage?
Yeah, but everyone gets it whether you're working or not. Literally everybody gets
An
amount.
That's a bit strange.
Well, it's Finland are going to start voting on whether to do it. Switzerland are voting now.
But where's the incentive to actually get a job then and contribute if you're going to get paid anyway?
See, that's the thing. It's actually a different look at it. It's a bottom-up way of working it rather than a top-down way of working it. And it was a similar thing was trialled in Canada in the 70s in just one town in Canada. And it actually turned out that they had more people working, but they worked like more flexibly, better hours for them, and also more people were staying in college and things like that. So over time the population became more educated and got better jobs, so it really worked.
I definitely see the student argument in that,
yeah,
because you skint yourself to go to get an education, don't you?
But there's loads of arguments for it. If you actually look into it, when I first heard of it I thought that's a stupid idea, then I went looking into it, and when you see all the actual studies and facts and stuff, it can really work. You're always going to get your benefit scroungers and stuff, but
yeah.
But when you look at kind of the results of the tests and things that they've done,
well, I suppose I mean, like you said there, if people are getting paid regardless, or they're getting some money,
yeah,
then they might be able to afford to be able to go to college and go to university and whatever.
That's it. Apparently the betterment of life was off the scale. And yeah, people were working more flexibly, and they pretty much introduced it as being like a 3 or 4 day working week rather than a 5 day working week, because people had a better quality of life because they were given some money by the state. I believe Finland are testing it with about 8,000 low earners currently to see what the effects are, and then they're going to have a vote on it as well.
Interesting.
I think that's the way the world's going, you know. I think money's becoming less and less a thing.
Yeah.
And it's all going to be about your flexible working and your, like, the way that a betterment of life, a better way of living rather than just living to work. Certainly hope so.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we've got a couple of songs to squeeze in, so we're going to have Our Saving Day first.
Yeah, one last chance. This is from their new EP, Matter Over Mind, which is out now on iTunes and all good music services.
And these guys are fairly young guys, aren't they? These are from Chesey.
Yes.
Ches Vegas. Chesterfield. Chesterfield.
Indeed.
Oh, it's Our Saving Day. We're here till 3 o'clock, and then DJ Skis here afterwards with Platinum Plates.
You left me to fight.
That stopped a bit suddenly, didn't it?
Yes, and there's still 9 seconds left, according to that.
Yeah, well, I just make these CDs up. I don't make them accurate.
Clearly.
Clearly not.
Our saving day there. I've seen them before, and their style of music's not really for me, but I quite enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
You can tell that they're getting better.
Yeah, I think that's the best I've heard of them. Mm. Definitely.
Have they got any gigs coming up? Are they doing anything for Tramlines? I think they are, aren't they?
I think they are. Well, I would assume they are. I don't know exactly what off the top of my head, but
we don't know.
I know that their new EP actually came out this week, so it's worth going and checking that out.
Yeah, check them out. iTunes will be on Spotify, I guess.
Yeah. Or buy a CD off them at a gig.
Yeah.
And give them more money.
Absolutely, absolutely. Danny Pietnik has indeed text back, confirmed that it was the trio. So I've just said... Just had a biscuit segment on the show, haha.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's as every week, and I stare into the ether as you talk biscuits.
What's your favourite biscuit?
Viscount.
Oh, Viscount.
Yeah.
You don't see them anymore, do you?
Not regularly, no.
I think mine's a custard cream.
Really? Mm. That's the blandest biscuit ever.
No, if you get the cheap crap ones, then yeah. If you get a good custard cream.
Nah.
What about orange creams?
Orange creams are good. Mm. Yeah, little bit of a twist.
Yeah, my dad came home with some, like, what the hell are these? These aren't custard creams. They're okay. Obnobs are good. Obnobs.
Oh,
we're a cup of tea or a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. It's done. Just one last segment, really, for me. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, indeed.
Died this week, or last week. And what a guy, what a legend.
Yeah.
I've been watching a load of old footage from interviews and whatever. I saw something on Twitter today. In 1981, a guy was, he'd opened this big window of a tower block, and he was starting to jump off.
All right.
And police were trying to talk him down, and I think they got a priest and whatever else trying to talk him down. And Muhammad Ali happened to be in the vicinity, went up and managed to talk him down.
Wow, he's like Paul Gascoigne before Paul Gascoigne, isn't he?
Bit of chicken and what else?
And a fishing rod.
And a fishing rod, yeah. There's a story about Paul Gascoigne that's been in the news. I weren't going to say anything about it today.
All right.
He's getting charged with racial abuse. Apparently he made a joke. He did an evening with Paul Gascoigne and made a joke about a security guard or something.
All right.
And somebody's complaining they're charging.
I once went to see a comedian.
Went Jimmy Carroll, were it?
I don't think it was. Nah. It was actually at Hillsborough at the Wednesday Ground, and... Again, that comedian just laid into the doorman who was black, and it was the most uncomfortable thing ever.
It's just...
And everybody complained.
You know, it's... society's moved on.
Yeah.
We don't find that funny anymore. And it's not funny.
I'm not sure it was funny in the first place.
Well, no, it wasn't. I think you know, it was more acceptable than the likes of Bernard Bannon and whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, digressed again. I saw a bit of a news clip, and he was like hanging out of the window, yeah. And Muhammad Ali was a few rows down, and he said,
"I think I've seen a picture of this."
Yeah, he says, "I'm your brother. I'm here to help you."
Yeah,
and he talked him down. Amazing guy. But I remember seeing him on a chat show. I don't know if it was Wogan or Parkinson or something, and he was on the same show as Freddie Starr, and Starr was telling this really long, elaborate story, and it was all nonsense. But he built him up and built him up and built him up, and he was like leaning forward in complete suspense. And Freddie Starr just went, and Muhammad Ali absolutely crapped himself. The story was just complete nonsense. It wasn't anything at all. It was just he just scared him completely.
I'm not sure that you'd want to scare Muhammad Ali. Considering that the guy could punch you fairly hard.
Yeah, but he wasn't a typical boxer though, was he? He was clearly a nice guy.
He was a nice guy. A lot of it down to his religion and faith. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Big religious man.
He denounced kind of. All the fundamental Islamists and stuff, didn't he, after 9/11, and like spoke out against that. He was a legend. It was all about like peace and love for him. even though he's a boxer. How ironic.
Yeah, yeah.
But disciplined sport.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a huge procession and funeral on Friday. And there's going to be a lot of people there paying respects. Bill Clinton's going to deliver a eulogy.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal are expected to speak as well. So
Parkinson's for a long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he has. But you know, we were talking about this last night. Michael Parkinson said the same thing. You know, he said if you have that many, you know, we could dress boxing up as much as we like, but yeah, it's hitting people, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's fighting. You're going out to hurt somebody, so he's took a lot of punches, and that will not have helped.
Yeah.
But you know, still made it to 74. It's not a bad innings, is it?
It's not bad. Just a shame. It's like with the rate that we're losing people this year is absolutely crazy.
Mm. Well, this is our tribute to Muhammad Ali. It's a local one. It's Reverend of the Makers, yeah, and it's a live version of Heavyweight Champion of the World.
Yeah. Let me see your bounce with me. So yeah, that's for Muhammad Ali, our little tribute to a boxing legend, and that was Reverend and the Makers doing a live version of Heavyweight Champion of the World.
Yeah, great song. We were dancing to that last night, weren't we?
Yes,
in a
drunken state.
It's good to be back after a week off.
It is.
Solid 2-hour show, I think.
Yeah.
We've not run out of things to say, that's always a bonus.
Indeed. We did talk a little bit about biscuits and do some live Googling.
Oh yeah, did you hear the biscuit segment, Rob? DJ Skeezier.
Yeah. Custard creams. Come on.
Told you.
It's
not even top 50 custard creams.
You lured me into a false insecurity there. I thought you were going to say, yeah, custard creams, great. But no, he didn't.
That's on the list.
No.
Malted milk's on the list, isn't it?
What's that?
Malted milk.
Oh, yeah. You get a bit boring after a bit, though, don't you?
He's actually going to kick us out here.
Did you eat it at a time?